Welcome to the One Life, One You podcast. Welcome to the One Life, One You podcast. This is episode 30. 30. Took a long time to get here, but we're here. I think I'm kind of getting into the groove of the podcast. Last night, I asked for questions on my Instagram story at @Nick_OneLifeOneYou. I got a couple. I'll answer a couple health fitness related today, and I'll answer some more in a different podcast. We'll go first question. Somebody wanted to start jogging and they wanted some tips into getting started. First tip is to do it. Don't think about it anymore. Tie up the sneakers. Get some sweatpants, get a hoodie, t-shirt, I guess, because it's 80 degrees. And just go out and run, jog, walk, do whatever. Quick tips is dress for the end of your jog or run, not the start. So if you know you get hot, if you know it's warm outside, or if it's a little chilly, be prepared to and be dressed for the end of your run, not the start of your run. If it's cold outside, warm up in the house to get the kind of blood flowing and get a sweat going so your body can get warmer. And then that way you can just go, have a comfortable pair of shoes, make sure they're tied right, make sure the heels are good, make sure the soles are good. Run in clothes that you're comfortable in moving and sweating in. So I recommend dry fit, but if you don't have dry fit clothing, that's fine. Look for moisture wicking socks. What else? Oh, and in terms of running and jogging, don't worry so much about distance. Set a time for yourself of maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and just go out and go. Don't worry about tracking it. Don't worry about your distance or your splits or your times. Save that for way down the road. Just go out and run and see how your body feels. Do that for a couple weeks and then we can come back and talk about measuring, you know, how far you're going and what your mile time is and all that. You just want to build a habit of getting out and actually jogging. Simple. Throw some headphones on. Because of who asked this question, put some Nas on or some J. Cole on and just go 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you want to do, and just see how your body feels. It's, for me, it's really good. I don't listen to music a lot when I'm jogging or running. I like to just have my thoughts and my mind running. Everybody's different. Find a podcast, find music, whatever you want to do. Go ahead and try it out. Second question. This is funny that I got this question last night because I was just talking to one of the One Life, One You training app people about this last week, but it's about getting blisters when they're out running and how to prevent them and how to kind of, I guess, treat them and make sure what to do when you do get them. One, if you get a blister in your foot, just take the rest, take it easy. Don't go and try to push through it because it's only going to get worse. You're not going to get better. Take the couple of days off. It's not going to ruin your fitness taking 2 or 3 days off. Take the time. Let it heal up in terms of kind of preventing them in the future. Again, making sure your sneakers are good. So you want to check the heel of your shoes and the soles and the cushions of your shoes. You want to make sure they're really good and comfortable for you. Make sure the shoes are tied tight, but not too tight. Moisture wicking socks will help a lot if you're running or jogging in cotton socks. That rub on your foot is going to irritate it, so you want to get something that kind of soaks that up. So moisture wicking socks, you can find them anywhere that sells socks, you can find them. Don't overdo it on your runs. You'll get blisters when your body isn't used to maybe pushing that hard or going that much further. So kind of knowing yourself, you know, if you've never done more than 2 miles, don't go run 6. You know, do 2.5, do 3, take the baby steps, get your body used to it. That's my only real tips is if you get a blister, take the rest. It's not going to hurt you in the long run. And make sure you're good in terms of your shoes and stuff. Otherwise, heels, soles, toes, make sure the shoes are good. If you need to go buy a new pair of shoes, go buy a new pair of shoes. You want to make sure they're comfortable. When I try shoes and I'm squatting and running and jumping in the store. So, you know, if you need to do that, do that. Yeah, it's really weird that I got that question since I was just talking about it last week. It's good weather to go run. So, you know, go. The third question, and I thought this was really, really interesting. And I had to ask follow-up questions about why this question was asked. But the initial question was, how do I get oatmeal to be under 30 grams of carbs? Now, as soon as I seen this question, a couple thoughts came to my mind. First is, why 30 grams of carbs? Why an oatmeal? Why is it a big deal to be under those 30 grams of carbs? I had a lot of questions coming right back to her. The simple answer is, you want to get under 30 grams of carbs in oatmeal, eat less oatmeal. A cup of oatmeal is 54 to 56 grams of carbs. So a half a cup will get you under 30 grams, be 26, 27, somewhere in that range. Simple, if that answered the question, but it was a bigger deal than that. She had her own kind of, I guess, health and diet coach who told her she should only have 30 grams of carbs every meal. I found that strange. So I go, why? And you know, why is 30 grams of carbs the number? And it's kind of, a lot of people in terms of health and fitness and people trying to go on a diet, they look at carbs as like the enemy, and the carbs are the reason making you gain weight or not lose weight. And it's really not. Carbs aren't the enemy. Carbs aren't the enemy. Carbs aren't the enemy. Overall calories is the reason why you either lose weight or gain weight. You eat all carbs, and if you're under your calorie range, guess what? You're not going to gain weight. So having somebody who's, in their own opinion, struggling with their diet, having them be super restrictive with their diet, I think is the wrong way to go about helping this person, because it's putting too much pressure on them every single meal, calculating and figuring out, all right, I can have this, I can have that, but I can't have this, I can't have that many of that. That's a lot of unnecessary stress when you're just trying to get them to build healthier habits. I go, that should be something 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, a year down the road, once they build good, healthy habits that you can kind of start focusing on. Not from the very start. That's overwhelming people, and that's why people give up on their diet and nutrition and fall back to old habits, because it's a lot of work figuring out macros, carbs, protein, fats of every single meal, when my advice I've been giving to a lot of people, because I'm seeing that it's working, is to eat 3 times a day, no going back for seconds, make half your plates vegetables, fruit, nuts, or seeds, and the other half whole foods. What I mean is, if you take your plate, split it in half, this half fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, this half your protein and your carbs. So it could be rice, oatmeal, potatoes, whatever, chicken, beef, turkey, fish, whatever. But this half has to be fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds. 3 times a day, no going back for seconds, no snacking in between those meals. That's been my advice recently giving people, and people have been seeing results with that. I go, there's no counting calories, there's no macros, there's no extra pressure. I go, do those three things, work out 5 times a week. initial results will come, and then later down the line, we can talk about carbs and proteins and whatever else you want to geek out about. But to do that from the start, and to do that and to get that information from the start from somebody who's a health and diet coach, I think it's wrong. I think they should have went at it at a more beginner level than to just say every meal you have to only have 30 grams of carbs. You put a negative reaction to a lot of food, because carbs are in fruit. Is fruit bad? You know, carbs aren't the enemy, and a lot of people believe, because there's articles and books that, you know, hey, too many carbs leads to fat gain and things like that, which to an extent is true. But if you're trying to just get people to lose initial weight, eating less calories is the goal, and moving more is the goal, and that should be where the focus is at. It shouldn't be so restrictive. It shouldn't be so much work at the very beginning, because that overwhelms people and that pushes people to have negative thoughts on food, have negative feelings on food, and to go back to bad habits. So the 30 grams of, well, to be under 30 grams of oatmeal for breakfast is crazy. But if it's having a half cup of oatmeal and some eggs, and put spinach, peppers, tomatoes, and eggs, you're pretty solid. Have that instead of, I can only have this, I can only have that, I can't have this. Too many negative thoughts in terms of diet when you should just be focusing on the basics. That was my advice for her. I told her to try it out. I'm not saying to not, you know, disregard what she's paying for in terms of her health and diet coach, but to go back and don't just take what they're giving you as 100%. Go back, ask questions, and figure out exactly why the 30 gram of carb rule is in effect. Because for me, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense at the start. We'll end there. Three questions. We'll get back, answer some more questions later on a different podcast. Yeah, pretty good. Thanks for listening. Episode 30. We're going to start cranking these out way more. Nick Sherman. Thanks for listening. Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review. Screenshot it and share it. Tag me in it. Make sure to check out onelifeoneyou.com. The goal, health and happiness, stronger every day.